The Tripod Network. What's on?
Okay, I'm testing this again. It seems like that's probably closer to our final recording sound level. Say something.
Sounds good to me. Testing, testing, 1, 2. Andrew is a poopy head.
Okay, we're testing again. This is a little bit higher, a little bit higher. Okay, Brian, say something.
Hi, how are you today?
Very good, except for the hemorrhoid I have.
And so it came to pass that John was reunited with the Van Damme family. And he found that he too had a twin.
Geek tested, nerd approved. Extra Life Radio.
This is Harvey Picar, and you're listening to Extra Life Radio.
When I was young, I'm talking about the good times.
It's Extra Life Radio, and it's show 85. It's hard to believe. This is Scott Johnson, the host of Extra Life Radio, and yes, once again, it is time for another show. You'll have to forgive me way in advance here. I'm a little out of it today. I can't seem to think straight. I can't make a cohesive thought happen in my wee brain, but I'm hoping that somehow the show will help squeeze something out, as it were. Would like to mention right up front that we are sponsored in part by youbynow.com, and I wanted to mention something. They're getting over there. Hasn't got there yet, but they're doing pre-orders. They're finally getting the oft-requested Lord of the Rings Epic Scale Balrog. So apparently this thing is going to be awesome. They're showcasing it on the front of the site, so go to youbynow.com and check it out. The only way you're going to get your hands on this thing is by pre-ordering. And if you use Extra Life as your keyword, you'll get 10% off. So make sure you do that. That's youbynow.com. And thanks again to Brian over there for their great support of this show. Wicked cool stuff over there, and we got some stuff coming up from them that you'll be really excited about, some new reviews and whatnot. And as always, make sure you check out myextralife.com for archives, for the news blog, for the comic 3 times a week, for the message boards, for so much, much, much more. And with that, ow. Oh, sorry. We will bring in the usual tub suspects. Full of naked retards. Yes, the usual suspects. We have with us from the Wing of America, Andrew. Andrew, hello.
Hey, it's rather ironic that you mentioned that statue because I had to go buy this powder for my Balrog.
Oh, I see. And your Balrog's been chafing? Is that the problem?
Yeah, so I got to put powder on it.
I wouldn't need talcum powder if I could walk. No, how's it go? If I could walk that way, I wouldn't need the talcum powder. Ba-dump-bump. All right.
And make sure you tip your waitress. We're here all week.
And we have with
that's
us.
That's a great way to start the show.
Now, here's the most important thing of the week. We have back, after a hiatus of one solid week, our good friend, Brian. Brian, hello. And I got nothing.
Oh.
Yeah, that's just freaking great. We lost, I'm still recording, by the way. We lost Andrew for some reason. I don't know what happened to him. Do we know what happened?
I don't see him online anymore. I'm still like, well, now he's gone.
All right, we are going to pause for a moment while we find out what the hell happened.
What the crap?
We'll be right back. Okay, we're back. And Brian, how's it going?
Pretty good.
Okay.
I'm back from my stupor drunk.
You're stupor drunk? Oh, that's right. You were
in
Jamaica for, or no.
No, it was in Cancun.
Cancun. But
there was a bunch of Jamaicans there.
Yeah, it sounded like there were Jamaicans in the room, which is kind of odd. And also with us from commission.com. Obsidian. Obsidian, hello. Commission.
Hey, that's me.
Commissioncomic.com, not commission.com. Sorry, got it wrong. It's a much longer URL than I gave it credit for. So welcome to the show, everyone. This is show number 85. What the hell? My gosh, we have so much to talk about. And it's all crap because I just threw down a bunch of random thoughts. There's no like structured topic this week because I blow.
You know, that's a great way to start a show. Just tell people it's crap.
Yeah, so turn it off now, dude. Go back. Freaking download some
don't
other...
Don't listen to this show. It's crap.
Download Bass Fishing Online.
Yes. By the way, I looked at that Balrog.
Ooh, that's a beauty fish.
That epic scale Balrog thing. Kind of cool, dude. I don't know if you guys have seen this, but when you get a
how
second,
much is that thing anyway?
I didn't look at the price, and I've already shut it down. But it looked really, really good.
Okay, I got a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
How big does something have to be
in
order to be considered an epic scale?
I think larger than a foot tall.
Speaking of that, weren't you just checked out? You were just pinched, and they told you you had 14% body fat. How do you feel about that?
Yeah. I feel very average.
Does that feel average? Is that what we all are? I mean,
no, that's not
I don't
who you are.
I don't know what I am.
You're like 90% fat, man.
I'm all hips, dude. I'm all hips.
Oh, you know what's rather ironic?
You know, I can't eat that. It all goes to my hips.
It's rather ironic that word on the street is that Scott naturally smells like butter.
Yeah, it's true. Huh. And I bake in the sun. It's awesome, dude. The dogs go wild. Dogs gone wild. All right, let's talk. I do have a couple
of
topics.
That's just dirty, man. That's just dirty.
These topics are totally worthy of discussion. First on the docket would be this whole running Windows on a Mac thing and what it means for gamers. Okay.
Nerd.
I did this.
What it means for gamers.
Last Friday night, I stayed up way late and tried to tweak it around and do stuff. And it was so easy. It was so easy to snuggle with that guy. I mean, install boot camp.
It all just came so natural.
Yeah, no kidding. But no, I went ahead and I got a copy of Windows. I got Windows Service Pack 2.
His hair smelled like ginger.
What the crap are you saying? And I got it installed on my PC or on my Mac. So throw me your questions. What do you want to know?
How well does it run games?
It runs games better than any PC I've ever owned, and consequently better than any PCs of any friends of mine who are a little more decked out than my old PC was.
How lame are your friends?
They're really lame.
No doubt.
They're so lame, dude.
They're running C64s.
Yeah. It runs like a champ. And I haven't put things like, you know, I'm anxious to try things like Fear and some other like heavy-duty stuff.
I'm curious to see like a really high-end, I would say either Fear or Oblivion would be the bench breaker for it to see how well it does.
Well, I'm inches away from getting Oblivion, so if I end up getting that, I will definitely report back. But let me tell you, though, the experience was cake. It was easy. It was the easiest thing I've ever done to a computer.
Have you ever baked cake, Scott?
I have as well. I've done that as well. Oh, and by the way, keep your eyes open for tomorrow's comic because it deals directly with this whole issue. Brian has had
with
a sneak peek.
With cake?
No, with the whole Mac PC thing, you wiener.
Oh.
I find it interesting that you have a single piece of equipment running two operating systems. I wonder if you will not eventually start favoring one and not ever go back to the other.
Well, I already do favor one. I already
which
favor OS X.
Mac.
But that said, there are a lot of games that I own for the PC that I miss playing, and there's some out there that I've been wanting to play that I'll now be able to do. And so,
Scott, I've been thinking about something.
What's that?
And it actually has to do with the subject.
Oh, good. That's a shocker. There's a change. No, hold on. Let me write this down. Let me write this down. Today at 8:27 p.m.
That's enough, Scott.
We stayed on topic.
Okay, you killed it.
Go ahead. I'm kidding. Go ahead.
You know what? I forgot.
No, you didn't. Okay. You remember.
Well, I have another question if Obsidian can't remember. Go ahead, Obsidian.
Okay. Now, I was wondering, Scott, has it ever occurred to you
what?
That if your operative system requires for you to emulate another operative system in order for you to be able to do everything you want, doesn't it mean that your OS is kind of faulty?
Well, if you believe that it has to emulate anything, you would be incorrect. It's not emulating a thing. It's running natively on the hardware.
That's even worse. OS actually requires for you to have another OS so you can do everything you want to do, doesn't it actually mean that your OS is kind of lacking?
Well, let's look at it this way. You PC users that want some of the awesome functionality that OS X has, and I'm talking about the stuff it ships with, certain kinds of software you can't get anywhere else, if you're into video editing, audio production, any of that stuff, and you want to harness the power of some of that Mac software, you're screwed. However, a Mac owner can now get Windows to run to play their games and things where they were previously screwed and are no longer screwed. So
now,
if it seems to me that this is a huge benefit for Mac people.
Now, I got a question.
It seems to me you said screwed too many times.
So, okay, you have your Apple OS. You got Windows XP on there. Now, if you wanted to run Fear from the PC, do you have to load up Windows, or does the game just open and run naturally?
You just reboot, hold down the key, and it opens in Windows, and you run the game. It does not.
Oh, is that all? Reboot?
Wow,
just reboot it.
Well,
whoa, you know what? This reminds me of when I just had a computer, like my first computer, that you have to have like a startup disk for certain games.
Dude, remember this? Hold on,
like way in the beginning of the 90s.
First of all, it doesn't take any time at all.
You had games on a floppy.
It takes like 10 seconds to do it. There's a reason they call it dual boot.
I can rebuild a car engine in 10 seconds.
You're amazing. But no, it's two.
And you know why he's amazing? Because he has a PC.
It's two partitions. Two partitions, dual boot. This isn't anything new. Linux people have been doing this forever. You've had Linux people doing this forever. This isn't like shocking stuff. The point is that all the complaints before
you know what
that,
you are? You are OS bisexual.
That's true. Okay. That's a pretty good analogy, actually. There are things about Windows I like, and it's pretty much one thing, and that is it plays a lot of games.
The fact that it's rough with you?
That too. And I enjoy the occasional blue screen of death.
It knows what to do and how to do it.
Yeah. I like the occasional crash. I like viruses. They help me sometimes. They kind of center your ground you a little bit. They keep
you know what I read? I read that in spite of what you Mac people say, and I say people as to not say a word I cannot say in the podcast. I read that in spite of what you Mac people may say, the Mac OS actually is very vulnerable.
To what?
Water.
To hacking.
How do you figure that?
Fire.
How do I
figure that? Ben and I just tell you I read.
Oh, you read it.
I read it somewhere.
Yeah. No, wait a minute. If you got it on the internet, did you read it on the internet?
It's all true. The internet's
true. Oh, of course
true.
It is. Oh, well, then forget it. I rest my case. In fact, I'm going to take OS 10 off here and just run freaking Windows.
Oh, good, wait a minute. So we have to take your word for it? We have to take your word for it?
Yes. I host the damn show. I'm about to. I can turn you off and turn you on anytime.
Oh, man.
I want.
Why would I take the word of a drunk Mac user?
A drunk Mac user.
Oh, my God.
He's like, Scott's like sitting in front of his computer going, I'm going to run beer now. And then he just falls out of his chair.
Yeah, that's me. All right, well, as I look at my 20...
And he dreams that he ran Mac.
As I look at this 20 inches of beautiful screen, I'm about to play a call we got about the beef line. I don't know why this guy's asking this. I have a feeling he's going through the old shows slowly, but here it is.
Yes, hi, this is Samus22it again, and I forgot, and I messed up, and you're probably going to call me a stoner, something which I am not, again, for saying this, but I messed up, and I meant to say, whatever happened to the beef line? So, yeah, call me a stoner and be done with it, but I'm really curious. Thanks. Love the show. Wait for it. Okay, I think that's right. Yeah, bye.
Okay.
Hey, it's the stoner.
It's the stoner. Yeah, thanks, stoner. tell them what happened. What happened to the freaking crap line?
Originally, it was called the beef line, and then we got some really, really nasty hate mail from the USDA, and they told us that we had to change it to something else, otherwise they were going to sue us all.
Yeah.
And we
It was the beef line, but you know everybody knows I'm a vegetarian, so I had certain issues with the beef line.
But he likes crap, so.
But no issue with the crap line.
Now we call it the crap line, and that doesn't say much about me. I dug my own hole there.
No, it's good that it's called the crap line because it ties everyone together. It's something everyone does.
Yeah, it's
whether
just
you're a
crap.
Vegetarian or a meat eater or an alien from Zelnak 5.
Yep.
Or a math user.
Yeah. It's like any other beef, though. It eventually turns to crap.
That's true. It's right. Beef turns to crap. That's a perfect analogy, Brian. Thank you for bringing it home. We have a question for Obsidian we have to play. We have a couple, but here's a good one.
Hey, Scott and crew. It's Dufke, and I have a question for Ask Obsidian. I'd like to know what his favorite comic book is. Thanks. Bye.
Your favorite comic book. This is a female asking. Let's just clarify that.
Archie.
Good housekeeping.
Yeah.
Wow, it's a female, and her name is Dusky. I think I'm in love.
Yeah, you are. So what? So what is your favorite? Do you have a favorite comic book? I don't think you've ever talked about that.
I have like two or three. Favorite comic books are Appleseed by Masamune Shirow.
I like his stuff.
Yeah, he's awesome. Akira by Katsuhiro Otomo.
My gosh, are you Japanese?
Yeah.
Listen to him. My gosh, that's amazing.
And Watchmen by Alan Moore.
He's Mexanese. Watchmen. Dude, we agree on Watchmen. I love
Watchmen. Yeah, Watchmen is awesome.
Oh, yeah. Good stuff there. Alan Moore. Keep it going there, buddy. All right. Well, that was an easy answer. Boy, I just didn't expect that to be so easy.
And Dusky, you can write me anytime.
You can tell you're on the lamb a little bit with the women folk. So any of you chickies that want to get it going on with everyone's favorite resident jumping bean down there, you can get a hold of him. By sending us an email.
How many
email.
Times do I have to remind you I'm not Mexican?
Well, who says a jumping bean has anything to do with Mexico? Who says?
I've never seen a jumping bean.
Oh, I haven't either. Although I've been jumping. Well, never mind.
So I've been jumped by beans.
Beaner, I'm going to call you a beaner.
I ate beans, beaner. And now I feel jumpy.
All right, here's another one.
In the backside.
This is a divine intervention question, and it has to do with playing D&D, so I think it's worthy of play. Here you go.
Hi, I got a question for Asko. This is Nick West, a first-time listener, long-time caller. And I have a question. As a game master or dungeon master, have you ever actually did it like a divine intervention with any of your games, such as you wanted the characters to actually live so that they could advance to just the next portion and then, you know, maybe like summon like 40 other monsters come out of the darkness? Thanks.
Okay, I may call him a stoner too, but the question, I actually think this is interesting,
it's
because
interesting.
In the game, yeah. I'm not a huge D&D guy, but tell me, Obsidian, when you play the game, are there times where a DM, I mean, to me that's just cheating. It's like, we're going to have divine intervention and suddenly that ranger isn't dead after all. Come on, get up. I'm the Lord. You can get up and kill whatever you want now.
Yeah.
That seems like cheating to me.
If you would ever read Obsidian's comic strip, you'd know he's taken this already.
Oh,
yeah.
I read it all the time.
Yeah, but Scott doesn't read commissions because Scott doesn't read, period.
I'm a little behind. I don't get the
Scott
text part. I just like the pretty pictures, really. So wait a minute. Obsidian, tell us.
The graphics.
I like the graphics. Those are great graphics.
Now he's going to do that for half an hour.
I know. You know what? I love that. It's one of my favorite things to do, so I'll stop now. But anyway, so what do you say about
that? What is my take on this?
Is it cheating or is that legitimate?
No, okay. Now, you see, basically, in D&D, the Dungeon Master is the rules.
Yeah.
The Dungeon Master cannot break the rules because the Dungeon Master is the rules. Whatever the Dungeon Master says goes.
Well, yeah, but doesn't that make for a crappy Dungeon Master if you're working halfway through and he just suddenly changes his mind?
Here's the thing, okay? Now, a Dungeon Master's job is not Rule Master. A Dungeon Master's job is actually, and this sounds pretty bizarre,
but
a Dungeon Master's job is to make sure that all the players have fun. So basically, if they start facing off a demon, and all of a sudden I roll the dice, and I discover that through rolling the dice, the demon just killed them all, I, as a Dungeon Master, can say to myself, hey, myself, this, you know,
okay,
you know, this isn't really a lot of fun. You know, this is just boring.
All right.
You know, how fun is it to just get killed at the, you know, you're 15 minutes into the game and you're already dead? So you can bend the rules a bit. Now, about divine intervention or being God, I just got this to say about God. The only thing I know about God is that I'm not him.
All righty. Okay.
I do know that Scott occasionally...
I have a God complex.
Know, he does, yeah. He does look into the mirror, and you know, he goes like, you know, "Hey, babe." I kind of feel divine today.
I look at one that I'm looking at a mirror now.
You can do the whole divine intervention thing as a role play perspective. I played in a few games where a friend of mine who always played like a priest or a cleric. There was once where he actually prayed in game. He role played himself praying to his God in order to save one of the people in the party.
Really?
Oh, but that's just role playing.
Yeah, and I was like, you know, so
that's
just good role playing.
Yeah, that's very.
But really,
weird.
I mean, the Dungeon Master cannot bend the rules because the Dungeon Master, his job is just to make sure
everyone has fun.
So if you think that somebody dying is not fun, you don't let him die.
All right. Well, let me ask you this. So you got a Dungeon Master. His job is to have fun. Okay. Well, I'm here to make sure you guys all have fun. I totally understand that.
You know, that sounds so kinky.
But what if he has like a total what if he has a total meltdown in the middle of the game and starts saying, the guy says, "Wait, I did pick the lock," and you say, "No, because the invisible man came and knocked the keys out of your hand or knocked the lock pick out of your hand." Well, that wasn't in the deal.
Obviously,
you know, obviously
Scott,
you have never done this, Scott, right?
Scott, you're totally losing geek cred.
But can,
right
no,
now.
I don't. I mean, no, I'll admit, I played D&D a little bit as a kid. When I was younger, I played a little bit. I didn't play a ton. But my question is,
obviously,
what stops these guys from doing that? Does everyone rise up and like take him down or what?
I mean, you keep track of everything. I mean, if you're running a game and you got someone who's a complete and utter moron, there comes a time where you'll basically cut the rope and let the guy kill himself.
Mm. You know what? It's time for role-playing game anecdote.
Yeah.
Anecdote?
Okay. Great. Is that the correct word?
That is time for that.
That's right.
We'll make it a new segment if you like. Go ahead.
No. You see, one time we were playing, and the group we were playing with came into a big room where an evil wizard. This sounds so lame now that I'm an evil wizard was standing in front of a big cauldron. And what he would do
you're wrong, because wizards don't use cauldrons, but go ahead.
Keep going.
Okay,
that's for
Harry
witches.
Harry Potter uses a cauldron. So Harry Potter was in a room with a cauldron. Yeah. And what he'd do it
and a candlestick.
He'd take people that he would kidnap,
and, he hit
and he'd
Professor
throw
Plum.
Him into the cauldron. And what would happen is that when they would go into the cauldron, they would die, and their life force would pass on to the wizard, and that way he could live forever. So the group comes into the room and starts fighting with this wizard. And all of a sudden, one of them escapes the fight and goes all the way to the cauldron. And one of the people in the group, he sort of like does a quick thinking sort of thing and says, you know, if we destroy the cauldron, we probably destroy this guy's source of strength.
So
he goes to the guy standing in front of the cauldron and yells at him, you know, destroy the cauldron. And the guy goes like, oh no, I jump into it. I mean,
okay.
This guy...
Okay.
Yeah, he's an idiot.
Yeah, so I mean, as a dungeon master, what do? You let him die. I mean, he's an idiot.
Well, okay.
So wait a minute. In your game, your players went into the room. There's the wizard, played by Fred Savage and his little brother. They're standing in front of a cauldron.
Yeah. Played by Harry Potter.
Played by Harry Potter. And then there's a giant monkey with an anvil. And he's
played by Macaulay Culkin.
Where's Dean Cain in all this, dude? We haven't even mentioned him yet.
Dean Cain plays the paint on the cauldron. That's how good of an actor he is.
Yeah.
He's amazing that way.
Oh, my
gosh.
And
he also plays God. He actually can do two roles at the same time in the same scene.
Well,
No special effects required.
And what's funny is, without any special effects, Steven Seagal plays the entire mountainside.
Yeah, he's good, dude. Don't mess with me.
Yeah.
We have a Spump Andrew, because that's really where we want to go next. This is a hard one. Not that hard, but it deals with a game we're all sort of becoming re-enamored with in the last couple of weeks. And I wish my box would get here. But anyway, Andrew, this
is... My Little Pony.
Yeah, My Little Pony Workshop 2.
Oh, yeah.
which was awesome. That featured multiplay and had some really good boss battles. But here's the question for you this week, and it deals with StarCraft. And it's kind of a tough question. So for once, we have a tough Stump Andrew question. Here it is.
Okay, this is a Stump Andrew question. StarCraft. Who had a crush on Kerrigan when she was a Terran and also when she was a Zerg?
Okay,
now that is a woman that has a voice like a cartoon.
Dude,
and she's asking about a guy named Gilligan.
That is not... No, that was not a girl. That was a kid who's like 13. It's just some dude. We got like we're attracting more and more youngins to the show, and it's definitely not
a
chick.
Does this mean I cannot say nipple anymore?
Yes, and it means there's no Gilligan involved in StarCraft.
Next Tuesday is Lego night on the show.
There's no Gilligan, dude. Gilligan fall in love with the skipper after he hit him in the gut with a coconut? And he said, "Oop, little buddy."
Is this the end of the word dildo on the podcast?
No, the guy who had a crush on Lieutenant Kerrigan was Marshal Jim Raynor.
Okay, let's see if you're correct. He
drove
the
little motorcycle around.
Let's see if it's right.
Okay, the answer is Jim Raynor. Bye.
Was it
excellent.
Jim? Was it actually Jim? It was Jim Raynor?
Yep, Marshal Jim.
Great.
Marshal Jim Raynor.
That sounds like the name of an alcoholic beverage.
Give me another tall glass of Jim Raynor.
A Jim Raynor.
No tune for you.
All right, we got another one. This is this one. I know you're not going to know it. I don't even know why he asked it, but something he said at the end made me laugh, so it's kind of worth it. So check it out.
What is up, gentlemen? This is Jay from the Fun Zone Radio Show, and I've got a question that's guaranteed to stump Andrew. The question is this. Name the brand of microphone used by Bob Barker on The Price is Right.
Okay.
Is it a Shure mic?
So how on earth would you know that? There's no way. It's not even like a geek question. It's like...
Yeah, I mean, since when do geeks know a lot about The Price is Right lore?
The Price is Right lore, dude. They've got a bunch of books and manuals and...
I don't know what
kind
of freaking...
they have... They, You know, I sort of missed the last Price is Right convention.
Yeah, it was a big deal. People dressed up like Julie Stevens, who came on down that one time and won a car.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a very popular dress up. They come in a dress and they say, I'll take the washer dryer combo,
questions.
Bob.
They ask questions. You know? Number 307,041.
Yeah.
A pack of cookies cost a dollar. And then in show 464.
Oh my gosh. That is just funny. Okay, so you don't know the answer, I assume.
I don't know the answer to that, but I do have one comment which kind of ties into that.
All right.
You have to admit, for all the years that Price Right has been on the air,
yeah,
is it me or does someone need to inform Bob Barker that there is such a thing as wireless microphones?
Man.
Because, I was under the impression that Bob Barker was dead.
No, he's alive. He's alive.
He's a Muppet.
He's just neutered.
Strings.
He's just neutered or spayed or whatever his deal was. It was PETA deal. He's
because it's
PETA
like
freak.
Still to this day, he has a mic with like a 50-foot cable on it. It's like, come on, dude.
Yeah,
and he's
does.
Always moving the mic around so he doesn't trip and bust a hip.
Yeah, I think stuff. Actually, I'll bet it's habit and I'll bet he demands the cord. I think he likes to have that thing and whipping it around and stuff.
Well, maybe he has cord proficiency.
That is true.
It could be.
Perhaps we all should have developed that. Well, here's the answer, because we got to play the answer, and the last part of it made me laugh. Here it is.
Prepare your knowledge hole. Here comes the science. The answer is a Neumann KM140, specially designed by Lowe's.
Okay, the Lowe's part just made me laugh.
Hello, Neumann.
You know, that was. Oh, speaking of Lowe's,
yeah,
I deleted the email, but I'm gonna pull it out and post it on the forums.
Okay, don't pull it out, man. That's just gross.
I got an email yesterday.
Yeah.
That if I take a survey, I can get a gift card to Lowe's.
That's awesome, and you better do it for the love of this show. You have to do it. And by the way, next week we want to make sure people call us in about what microwave was the first one to bake a potato. And while you're at it, you know, stuff like that. That's what we want.
Wait, next week I want to know what brand of toothpaste does Archie Cunningham from Happy Days prefer to use?
That's the one that Chachi used right before he did. No, I'm just kidding. All right, well,
last week I had a really bad case of Chachi.
Oh, dude, nice.
I got this salve, and it went away.
Yeah, and then you drank some Jim Raynor.
Before we go to a break, I want to play this
powder on my Balrog.
I want to play this call from Michael from the, of course, from the Middle East. We always like to hear
Michael.
From him. He seems to have a, I
Jackson?
Think he's been away from home too long.
Night.
So see what you think.
Hey, Scott, it's Michael, or the Middle East guy, or Prime Minister on the forum. I've been traveling a lot recently. I'm in London right now. I'm in the UK and downloaded your podcast and wanted to know that two things you mentioned on the latest one that actually kind of affected me are British women and boats. While I was flying up to the UK from Dubai, I happen to be sitting in my chair, and it seems like most of the stewardesses are well endowed up on top. And my overhead bin kept opening, and during the flight, so I had the steward. I was on the outside, and the stewardess kept having to close it. And each time, two of her sweater puppies, as you might say, kept hitting me, and I was looking forward to every time that thing fell. So, anyway, I just thought I should let you know. It was kind of an interesting trip for me, and heading back to Dubai now. Take care. Great show.
Okay. If I was Michael, and excellent. By the way, thanks, Michael. That's excellent.
We need to get him back home. He needs to be back here in the U.S.
He needs to come back home because
we can't lose him.
Yeah, and he's forgotten to be all PC overseas. He's calling them flight or stewardesses.
Yeah.
And Obsidian pointed out that
I thought they were called funky flight attendants.
Yeah, funky flight attendants is the real word. But anyway, that's very interesting, and it's nice to hear about the chests of foreigners. We like that.
Well, it's kind of true because, I mean, look at all the Monty Python skits and the Benny Hill skits and, you know,
yeah,
they're pretty...
I thought Benny Hill only chased nurses.
Or that little bald dude that he would slap on the head all the time.
Yes, which is all very true. And with that, we will take a break. And when we come back, we have a crappy movie of the week, a few more topics to hit, and some interesting conversation regarding something else. I can't. Oh, something Obsidian ran into this week that is really weird. So we'll hear his explanation about what that's about. We'll see you in a moment.
Previously on Extra Life Radio.
Hello? I was outside and I stepped in a pile of shit. I just want to throw in real quick how incredibly dirty I feel right now. Tonight when I curl up with a bottle of Jack and drink my problems away, I'll think of you, Scott.
Change
I even did
pants.
All the voices. And, oh my God, that's awesome.
Yeah.
She works at Lowe's.
In the year 2000!
He'll bring Balmer, and Balmer will just run around your neighborhood screaming at 1 a.m.
Oh,
see, you think I'm a one-trick pony. You gotta leak it to us.
What? Yeah.
Night of the Leapus. What are you wearing? Publix, Albertsons, Winn-Dixie. Oh, jeez.
Yeah, coat check.
I know that sound. He's like, I got nothing. No, sir. What size do you need?
Kim, can you come here a minute? I'm not weighing your head again.
But anyway.
Dun, dun, dun.
Wait.
I remember that.
Just reach out, snap the kid's neck, walk away, end a book. Evil gets an upgrade.
Yeah, no, wait. What? But anyway.
I have no idea what you just said.
What
you can sail the seven seas.
Well, what? What?
Hey, don't listen to this.
Okay, I'm gone. Oh, that was bad.
Wah, wah, wah.
What? They left out some of the most interesting stuff.
And we're back. By the way, I didn't preface that, but that little mashup you heard just now was something that Sebastian did because he got a little bored and he decided to do something kind of Andrew-ish. So he put together all the best Andrew chunks he could find, and boy, that was pretty funny, I thought. But anyway, we're back to the regular program. Hello, you have asthma? Yeah, he thinks he might have asthma now after hearing that. That was pretty funny. All right, where are we? What the hell? Oh, let's talk about...
You're in Utah.
We talked about that whole Mac PC thing, and speaking of computers and problems we run into...
Are we still talking about that?
I want Obsidian to tell us what happened with him and Google last week. So tell us the deal. Don't tell us the whole deal, because I don't want to be associated with this and get my own letter of cease and desist from Google. So
I was going to blame it on you.
I have nothing to do with this. I'll basically just put it this way. Google AdSense has been working pretty well for me, so I suggested to Obsidian, hey... You've got a great site with lots of traffic. You should run Google AdSense. So he did. It was awesome for the first few days. Then tell us what happened.
Okay. Now, I was making some pretty good money for the first days. And then...
Better than drug running.
Yeah. I mean, I was just about to quit drug running. And then, all of a sudden, out of nothing, I get an email saying that I am now banned from Google Ads. For life.
That's out of nowhere, by the way. Not out of nothing, but go ahead. I hate to correct. But here in America, the English-speaking
Columbia,
West...
we say out of nothing.
Okay.
Scott, you should never correct.
Yeah, I know. Scott's the last one to correct.
No, you have absolutely no moral right.
So they banned you for life, which is really harsh. And so what were you accused
of? Something's wrong with you when like one of the biggest powers... on the internet bans you.
If not the biggest.
And that's like, yeah. Yeah, I don't know if it's the biggest or not. I wouldn't dare say if it's the biggest because then we're going to get somebody calling saying that this other guy is bigger. But
Microsoft will show up and kill you. So.
Yeah. Well, so.
Yeah, I mean, maybe Microsoft will ban me for saying Google is bigger. But
what was their explanation? Oh, what did they tell you you did? What was wrong?
They said that from my site, they had invalid clicks.
Oh, brother.
Whatever the hell an invalid click may be.
Yeah, if it goes,
I don't know.
I would think if the click is coming from your site, it's a valid click. Don't they IP log stuff?
They do, but that's the problem. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Brian, you explain to us why where it gets hairy and why they would do this.
Well,
Brian, solve the problem.
If you have a lot of clicks all coming from the same IP address, originating from your referring address, then they'll probably think that someone is doing that. And someone may have been trying to help you out as one of your fans was trying to help you out and just screwed you over big time.
Yeah, but whoever was helping
me out, thanks a lot.
Yeah, but you know what, though? I mean, that's true. Brian is absolutely right that that could have been it. But it doesn't make sense to me that Google would jump to that conclusion because, as far as you know, I mean, you can't control that. And all these sites that run Google ads, they have fans. They have people that think, oh, you know, if I click this stuff, it's really going to help him out, and I'd really like to help him out. Well, that isn't O's fault. He can't control that. He can't even do anything about that.
And the dangerous thing is the fact that your competition could come in and screw you over that way, too.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Well, the thing is, I went over to the Google Ads forums, and actually I read from some people there that they were saying, you know, somebody actually hacked into my site and screwed around with my Google Ads, and now Google banned me for it.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people, this has happened to some other people before.
I wonder if someone hacked your site for some reason and did it.
Well, I mean, you just could have gone crazy clicking on it, and that's it. Yeah,
but if that's the case, I mean, that'd be like, you know, say Scott's website gets more than 10 visitors a day, which is a stretch. But say
that's a lot.
I know, because there's only four of us.
Yeah,
so,
I know. So.
including Scott. And Scotty, not even Scott visits his own site.
But say he gets, you know, say out of the blue, say on the average he gets like, you know, 4,000 a day, and all of a sudden it goes from 4,000 to 8,000 because someone really likes his comment. Is Google going to be like, oh, that's it, we're cutting him off?
Well, that's what it sounds like here.
That was it.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like, and that sucks if that's true. I just think that's horrible. And I know they can't go after who's clickety clicking on your thing, because how do they do that? They can't do anything there.
I can't believe they don't.
What? They don't
I can't believe they don't have a committee or something that can't review that.
Or, like, check the logs to see where, you know, at the different, like, you know, how many times a day, at what time of the day are these, you know, the IP being logged at.
I actually have a theory about that. I think the reason they don't is because they don't care.
Wolves.
They're making $440 million a year on AdSense alone.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was wondering, because why don't they just, like, warn you? Go like, hey, you know, we're getting invalid clicks from your site. Cease that or we'll cut you off.
Or give you a warning. We're getting invalid clicks. These are the steps that you need to take, or these are the possible reasons for it. Please check this and get back to us.
Now, I love.
No, but it kind of makes sense, because I saw a link to Christian comics these days, so that probably, I mean.
Yeah, that must be it.
Brian,
what were you going to say?
And you would think that, crap, I forgot what I said now. How's it going?
can I get there a was,
There was
hoo-ha. No, I know what you're going to say.
There was a big freaking brown spider on the freaking floor, and I just got distracted. I'm sorry.
That would do that to me. No. Let me say this. I think Google is an awesome company. I absolutely love Gmail. I like the new Google Calendar. I love Google Search. Everything they do is really great. All I'm saying is there ought to be. I don't know. I'm just. I'm really bothered by this. It just bugs me. Because it's not like, I mean, I know there are people that try to take advantage of it. That's absolutely true.
Yeah, but I thought they have automatically built in ways that they can separate out bogus clicks for real clicks. Yeah,
and you wouldn't get credited for them. These are bogus. They don't get no credit for them.
I wonder if there's like a national bias because they see that the site is it hosted in Colombia or somewhere in the States?
No, my site is hosted in L.A.
Oh. Well, they suck, too.
That's it. It's because it's California.
They suck.
Speaking of which, it is the 100-year anniversary
of the big earthquake.
The Great Quake.
So what do we think about that?
About that
Here's the deal. There's that whole freaking state is ready to fall off, and suddenly there'll be a lot of beachfront property in Idaho or something.
And
we'd have two Atlantis legends. You know?
And then a lot of the good gaming companies will be going bye-bye.
Yeah.
Aren't they all in Seattle?
No, there's a that may pull Seattle right down with it.
They're all wired together.
So I'd like to know, actually, if any of you listeners that live in California and LA or any of that surrounding area, and I know there's a bunch of you, or even the Bay Area, what is your take on this? Because from what I understand, they're not any more prepared now than they were when it happened the first time.
There was a special that both Brian and I saw today. while we, you know, together? Had popcorn and held hands.
Yeah.
And basically they said that even though it's
happening. Who cut a hole in the bottom of the popcorn?
Even though
that Brian's hole?
Let's get Len on so he can fill it.
Yeah.
But it's like, even though it happened 100 years ago, they are still no more prepared now than they were back then, which is
less
really pathetic.
Prepared because they have higher rise buildings. They're the only way to get off this peninsula is to, in certain areas, is to go via the bridge, and we've seen what happens to bridges. When
yeah, we saw it in the trailer of X-Men 3.
Yes.
Which is in New York, by the way.
Everything
okay, that
we
was stupid.
No, everything we no, ever needed to know came from X-Men 3.
Yeah, yeah. Now, 100 years ago, they had
even you know, though it was in New York.
Now, 100 years ago, they could get out of Dodge if they needed to by heading down to the
by
train.
Horse.
Yeah. By the trains, or they could get on a ferry, which I guess they could still do. They could get on a ferry, but it's a boat.
So now, wait
ferry.
A minute. Are you insinuating that people in San Francisco can ride a ferry?
I'm getting out of here, and I'm riding a ferry
to safety.
Oh,
I'm ready. Hop on my back. Let's go.
Oh, hey.
Oh my gosh, we're gonna get in trouble with those people. Those people.
With those people.
Yeah,
that
yeah,
sounds
know.
So awful. Man.
Oh, man. I know, yeah, when you make one of my gay friends, you're not funny.
All right. Well, now suddenly man. we're the freaking National Geographic Channel. Let's move on to another interesting thing, which is I just wanted to mention this. I saw Alien 4 again, and I've been ragging on it on the show. It's not as bad as I said it was.
It's a good movie.
No, I didn't know,
wait,
but you know what?
I remember saying this.
I know, but I don't remember.
Nobody listens to the Colombian.
I didn't remember or didn't know that Joss Whedon wrote that.
Yeah, you didn't know that?
No, he wrote the movie.
Scott. Way to lose even more geek cred on the show tonight.
I had no idea. I don't know why I didn't know that, but it came up when I was watching on DVD. I went, oh my gosh, freaking Joss Whedon.
Speaking,
and it's not that bad. It's okay. It's not great, but it's okay.
Speaking of all the Aliens movies... And the Alien versus Predator, and the soon-to-be-made Alien versus Predator 2. Yes,
oh,
they
stop.
Are
really?
Stop.
I did not know that.
One was enough. That thing sucked. That show sucked.
Actually, the Alien versus Predator movie, if you're going to see it and you haven't seen it, get the director's cut because it's actually rated R. They didn't tone it down. The version that came out in theaters, the studio made it PG-13 to try to get the younger crowd when every other what? Alien movie has been rated R.
Was it PG-13? I thought it...
Yep.
I didn't know
really?
That.
So why would you even shoot for that demographic? That doesn't make any sense.
I know. But speaking of all the Aliens movies, the scripts for pretty much all of them were either wrote or co-wrote, except for a few, by Ronald Shushit.
You mean co-written?
Yes.
Or Shushit.
Yeah, oh, man.
By Ronald Shushit.
Ronald who? No, wait a minute. Ronald who? Give us that name one more time.
Ronald Shushit.
Oh, man. I love it. I just love it.
Does he
I
know mean, Messy Pyle or...
Ronnie Cox.
Dick Trickle. All of them.
We got Deep Roy. He's got
Deep Roy, yeah.
Dude, they ought to make a whole... Deep I was saying before Roy. The show, they ought to have a whole movie with all these people in it. It'd be like a murder mystery with everybody. I think it was Messy Pyle. No, it was Dick Trickle.
But he actually,
oh my
he
actually God, co-wrote, here comes
the co-wrote the script for our bad movie.
Oh, the bad movie of the week, which we're about to get to, actually. Before we do that, though, I want to mention quickly, we don't have E3 reporters yet. So come on, people.
Damn it.
Get on the freaking stick.
Either.
Well, we haven't had dignity for 84 shows. But yeah, we really need
you.
So if you're going to E3, email me, myextralife@gmail.com, because we're dying to have some sort of on-the-site reporting, and we need it. And I'm not going, and I want to, but I can't.
I want to go at least once.
Yeah, I want to go at least once, but I can't say I'm that excited because it... Well, look at the recent comic, and you know how I feel
about
it.
There's supposedly a rumor going on that Blizzard is going to be making a major... news tidbit where they're going to be announcing a brand new like original setting game coming out of theirs.
Like not a sequel to something, not but a new property.
Wait a minute. Yeah, did you just say coming out of theirs? That sounds so wrong, man.
Not a StarCraft or a Warcraft or even the Warcraft World of Warcraft expansion, but a brand new game setting of theirs.
Franchise.
Wow.
Yeah, brand
new
franchise.
I hope it's called StarCraft 2 and they just pretend it's new.
Yeah, so do I.
Because that's what I want right there. Interesting stuff. There's also a bit of news I wanted to touch on real quick, that they're working on a new Earthworm gym for the next-gen consoles.
Yep. Excellent.
That's great news. I loved Earthworm Jim. Yeah.
And I hope it's still a side scroller.
Yeah.
I don't want it to be 3D.
I really doubt that. Andrew.
I doubt they'll do it, but I agree with you. I agree with you, but I think they won't. I think Obsidian's right. They probably won't do that, and that sucks because that's really where that game shines.
You know what else sucks?
What?
A vacuum.
I'm going to say Hoover.
Dude, Obsidian's like taking seventh grade pills today or something. He's got like all, this, all these little comments like, it came out of your what? It came out of your butt. Hoover. All right. Let's.
Thank let's, you, Scott. That made me feel so good. Google banned me.
Maybe they banned you because I don't know why. I hope. You know what? Oh, my gosh.
The whole thing is just a freaking scam anyway. Google just makes up numbers.
They did.
Here you go. Speaking, here's some numbers. Yeah.
You know what? You provided the best segue just now. Speaking of numbers, I want to look at a couple
here's
of polls.
Here's the crappy movie of the week.
A couple of recent polls we ran on the show. We talk a lot about Futurama on here. We asked people of these characters who was their favorite. Zoidberg, Fry, Bender, the Professor, or Kif.
Zoidberg.
Zoidberg killed. No, Zoidberg actually took second overall, looks like. Zoidberg did 82 votes. Fry got only a 17. Bender got 87. So yeah. Bender creamed it. Kif lost the most by getting only 7.
I have to admit, though, I on that show, Bender and Zoidberg are like my two favorite characters.
Yeah, I like Zoidberg.
I also
everybody likes the dude.
I also think it's interesting that in the best captain ever, out of Kirk, Picard, Janeway, Sisko, and Crunch, the best captain, Crunch actually did okay with 42 votes.
That's pretty cool.
He beat out Kirk at 29, but Picard won with 87 votes. Creamed him.
Wow.
Creamed everybody.
I feel sick.
Janeway took a distant last, which is exactly where I wanted
her to
be.
That's because she was busy doing her hair.
Exactly. Also, best Pac-Man. Pac-Man from the original Pac-Man got 91 votes. Miss Pac-Man only 19. Pac-Land got 2.
What's funny is Miss Pac-Man is my preferred Pac-Man game.
Yeah.
Of course
and
it
I,
is.
And I can't play the game in its normal speed. It's got to be that hyper speed.
Yeah. It's also very interesting in the who's the best sidekick out of Robin, Rat Trap, Artemis Gordon, and Dick Cheney. Dick Cheney was the runaway winner with 170 votes of the 189 votes and creamed everybody by double.
Wow.
More than
but
double.
It's not that often that a sidekick's allowed to like shoot someone know, and get away dude. With it.
Are we allowed to say that Dick Cheney creamed everyone?
Yes. Oh, my gosh, dude. You got like a book there or something, don't you? You're cheating. You have some kind of website up that's giving. Okay. Best seventh grade retort would be something's coming out of Dick Cheney. All right, and then the question, who should play the lead in Knight Rider's the next Knight Rider movie, or the first Knight Rider movie? David Hasselhoff, 45 votes. Anyone but him got 21.
I actually voted for anyone but him.
What do you mean anyone but him? You gotta love the Hasselhoff. I mean, look at the name, Hasselhoff.
The Hoff.
I mean, it just goes with the wind.
Yeah. Oop, sorry.
Hasselhoff. What was that? That's got
a booze.
Make a little noise.
Whiskey bottle. Busting out in his wine bottle.
With
let,
that.
Me get some, let me get some of my shine.
With that in mind, let's jump to our crappy movie of the week. This one is called what, Andrew?
It's called Bleeders.
Bleeders. Obsidian?
It's a movie
Obsidian?
For women.
Oh, I knew it.
And it's also when it was...
That was like 12th grade. There.
Yeah,
that was
pretty good.
When it was shown like on direct-to-TV, it was often called, I'm not making this up, hemoglobin.
Hemoglobin? They changed it for TV? That's stupid. Okay, it stars who? Rutger Hauer, right?
Yep.
He rocks. I like him in anything. I don't care how bad it is. Let's listen to a few clips from this show. Tell us this plot synopsis first. What do they have on this thing?
The plot synopsis is basically this. A man with an unknown disease travels to an island with his girlfriend where his relatives once lived, hoping to find a cure. While he's there, he finds out his relatives are all actually still alive, and they've been living underground and inbreeding for all these years, and they developed a pretty bad eating habit. Will his girlfriend survive? Dun dun dun.
Tasty.
So they're eating a lot of junk food?
Basically. Twinkies and ho-hos.
This first 9 seconds is Rutger Hauer just being nasty. Check it out.
Seminal fluid present suggests a functioning hermaphrodite. capable of having sex with itself.
Oh, wow. That's got to be one of the best movie quotes.
That is awesome. I love it.
The fact that they got him to say that line.
Yeah, yeah. It's a
now
good
that's
one.
That's real incest right there, buddy.
Yeah, it is. Here's one. Yeah, that's old school. Here's something about tunnels. Can't remember why.
The island is undercut by tunnels, all leading to the cemetery. There are things living in them. They are feeding on corpses.
And the next cue card says what? Yeah, what?
The movie is based on H.P. Lovecraft's story, The Lurking Fear. And from what I've read, I've never seen this movie. And from what I've read, it actually follows the actual Lovecraft story pretty much dead on, just set in a modern setting. So now I want to see it because I love all his writing.
Well, for fear of losing more geek cred, here's something about coffins.
Hey, did you hear about the coffins? Somebody's been breaking into them.
You mean the coffins down at the graveyard?
The one that's full of tunnels?
No, the one at Lowe's.
You guys, it's like, I can hear the producer. You need to hire my daughter. I swear if you hire my daughter, she'll do a great job.
I'll give you another 10 grand.
Oh, man. And here's my favorite, the blood disease.
It's a degenerative congenital blood disease. That's all we know.
I have that.
Yeah, and it's all we know. It's all we know, just like she said. All right.
You know, I was thinking that we should vote Brian to be the one on the podcast that looks the most like Zoidberg.
And I just found this out. One of the other co-writers of the script for Bleeders is this none other than the guy who wrote the script for Invaders from Mars, Life Force, Return of the Living Dead, Blue Thunder, and Heavy Metal, and the movie Dark Star.
Blue Thunder? Are you kidding?
Nope.
Wow.
The one with the helicopter?
Yeah.
I'm going in a totally different direction.
That's Airwolf.
Didn't that also have the same actor?
No, that was a guy in... the guy was in...
Oh, in Millennium, wasn't it?
Jaws.
Jan Michael Vincent.
No.
was in...
The Island?
Oh, Blue Thunder, yeah. Had Roy Schreider in it.
Roy Schneider, yeah, Schneider? Schreider? What
no,
was his name?
Schreider.
I thought
Roy
it was
Schreider.
I thought it was Schneider.
No.
It was Schneider.
That happens when you baptize your children while you're drinking.
It's like John Schneider's who I'm thinking of. Bo Luke. Or Bo Duke. Bo Luke. Now that's incest. I don't know what I'm saying.
Okay. You're some kind of weird hybrid.
He's a hybrid Duke boy. Well, with that, we will close the program. Thanks to everybody for being here, and thank you, the listening audience. Without you, we have crap. And with crap, we have a crap line. Call it today. The number to call is 206-203-CRAP. And as you can tell, we like to play those calls, and we'll gladly play yours. 206-203-CRAP. You can also email us at myextralife@gmail.com. Those are less likely to get played because those usually aren't as cool. But we still look at them. I usually answer all of them. So send us an email, won't you? And make sure to check out myextralife.com. Thanks again to Brian, Obsidian, and Andrew. And we'll see you guys on show 86.
Brian goes wild!
Real good, real good. We do have good news as to who will be filling Brian's hole. Come here, Hector the cow. I will drink from your teat.
Do you really think you're big enough to fill Brian's hole?
The gauntlet has been thrown down. We will take you on. I don't know what the hell that even means, but we're going to do it.
I was kind of feeling good right now, but no, I'm not.
Can we beat him with sticks again?
Over there, he speaks German. He's dressed in lederhosen.
Yes, I would like to save money on my long distance.
This movie makes me want to jump on the screen, love. I'm a little concerned that he's going to go home, kill himself, then sleep, then go back to school. I think he's confused about how that works. It's go time, dude. You got to have your machine ready to go.
That explains a lot of why Scott always plays his PSP in the bathroom.
A little pee-pee came out of your fuego or whatever.
What is it with you people and bunnies?